It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Day, and we are broadcasting live at the Wisconsin State Fair. You can find us inside the Goose Island Ale House here at the Budweiser Pavilion. Come on by and say hi. You know what today is? Today is the day where, and I hate to say this because I don't want to be stereotypical, but coming up here in about an hour, we are going to be completely surrounded by the geriatric crowd. Okay? You're going to have anybody on a scooter, a hover round, a hurricane, an ARP card, anything that happens to be, because Elvis is here today. I'm not kidding. Elvis will be in the house. Looking forward to it. You're going to hear it in the background. Starting up a little bit later on today here at the Wisconsin State Fair, Elvis will be in the house. Just thought I'd throw it out there. Brewers get a win. Radio Joe Zanzola is back in the studios, keeping us on the air. I'm Bill Michaels, and we are broadcasting again here at the Wisconsin State Fair. And hey, we have today and then tomorrow, and then I can't believe it, the fair then comes to an end for us. And as we continue to roll through the seasons, and the Brewers get a win. And I guess the question now becomes, for some, are you for those that had left the Brewers for dead, did the sweep of the Pirates convince you that maybe not? Maybe you still need to look over that fence a little bit, which for me it did. Just when you thought they were dead, just when you thought they were down and out, the thing that we had said all along came true. First and foremost yesterday, fantastic job as the Outgetters, Pomerantz and company, did a terrific job in holding the Pirates to three runs. But when Keston Hira, when you don't have Lorenzo Cain, when you don't have Christian Yelich, when those guys are not in the lineup, and you have that kind of run production, and you're getting it from everybody, you cannot help but think, if this offense just clicks, they're going to be a team to be reckoned with. If they can just hang on for a few more weeks and allow the cavalry to come back and start getting some of these guys back off of the injured list, that this team can just hang in there and get the job done. That's what you're hoping for if you're a Milwaukee Brewer fan. So just when you thought they were dead, hang in there. They're not dead yet. Now, yesterday, I guess a little bit disappointing because both the Cardinals and the Cubs won. And I completely, you know, get if you were, you know, anticipating a sweep and maybe gaining another game and only being two games back. Hey, look, you're three games back. There's still a lot left to play in this season. But I was encouraged. Look, I'm not going over the top and saying they're going to win anything. I'm just simply saying that this team has it within them to get the job done. It's just whether or not the consistency that we have not seen all season long is actually going to be there. So that's the biggest question. Will the consistency remain? So that's one of the issues we're going to talk about today. One of the other things we will discuss today, obviously, is tonight. Tonight, it's real. Tonight, we talk about the Green Bay Packers getting back on the field. The last time we saw them, it was a dejected team. They were exiting the stadium. The season was over. I think a lot of us were breathing a thank God that's done with type of mentality, and just regroup and let's see what they do. Let's see what coach they hire. And then kind of go from there, and we all know what's happened. Now, Matt LaFleur has taken over. He's put his stamp on this team. Him and Aaron Rodgers, that relationship, that thought process is under a tremendous amount of scrutiny. Everybody's waiting for a chink in the armor, seemingly, so they can jump on it and say, aha, Aaron Rodgers is the coach killer that he was made out to be in the offseason. Everything that's been written, everything that's been stated, everything that's been discussed, now all gets put in the past, as these two guys now try to lead their team for the 2019 campaign. So we'll get into that discussion coming up today as well. By the way, we're going to talk with Matt Thomas, Sports Talk 790 in Houston, get the lowdown on the Texans. Also, our good buddy who I'm going to see tonight and really looking forward to it, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. Mike is going to be joining us today, and he's going to be here for a little while coming up in the next hour. Mike will be here. Then Mike Tenier, the NFL writer for the Bleacher Report, he is going to be here as well. Our national baseball insider, when we talk about breathing life back into the season and they're not dead yet, our buddy Seth Everett, our national baseball insider, is going to be here. Seth always has some good insight, some good take as to baseball in general, and then we're going to kind of roll through the rest of the day. We're going to hear from Deshaun Kizer, the backup quarterback who's going to get the start tonight for in place of Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron not going to play in this particular contest. And we'll talk with Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst, coming up a little bit later on today as well. So we are action-packed broadcasting out here at the Wisconsin State Fair, the second to last day for the Bill Michaels Show, as a matter of fact, at the Wisconsin State Fair for 2019. But that doesn't mean we can't make it a great one, because out here today, you've got today and tomorrow, after the rains and the storms passed through last night, today and tomorrow, picture perfect weather. It's going to be warm with low humidity. That's exactly what you want. A little bit of a breeze blowing through here. So come on out and enjoy yourself. And by all means, stop by and say hi to us here at the Wisconsin State Fair, because these really going into the last weekend, last time to enjoy it. The good news is, I guess, when you talk about the Packers playing, is the Packers don't play on a weekend. So you can still get a chance to come out over the weekend, enjoy yourself here at the fair, not have to worry about missing a Packers game. And tonight, if you are going to decide to come to the Wisconsin State Fair, don't worry about missing the game, because you can come into the Goose Island Ale House or the Budweiser Pavilion, because that game, as the Brewers do not play today, the Packers game is going to be up on the big screen TVs all over this place. So you can stop here, listen to some good music coming up a little bit later on tonight. And in addition to that, still be able to catch the Packers game. And then after the game this evening, another programming note, don't forget, oh my goodness, don't forget, it's the Uptown Motors Green and Gold postgame show. Yours truly, Gary Ellerson, tonight. We're going to be breaking it all down, taking your phone calls, your emails, your tweets, and getting you ready for the, well, for all the opinions, but more so for what is about to come with the season in general. So there you have it. That is all of the information you need to know regarding the program and what's coming up, and everything out here at the Wisconsin State Fair. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in, feel free to go ahead and do so. 855-830-8648. Want to hear from you, and want to get your thoughts as to this Brewers team that gets the sweep, swept the Pittsburgh Pirates. Feeling good about it? How good are you feeling about it, I guess, might be the best point. 855-830-8648. Radio Joe Zinzola back in our studio. So, Joe, did the Brewers do anything to convince you that this team is capable of hanging around, or do you just look at that, well, they beat up on a bad Pittsburgh team?
Well, I think it's impressive that a Brewer team that's not 100% by any means going out there and beating the Pirates. Look, we've seen this Brewers team at full strength struggle against lesser teams in the past, like the Giants, the Padres, the Mariners. We've seen that. So it was kind of encouraging to see the Brewers bounce back after being swept by the Cubs and taking care of business and not being able to do this without the guys you mentioned, like Kane and Yelich, and not having, you know, your main group of starters in there too, and piecemealing it like you did with a bullpen day yesterday. That was all good. But, you know, the thing is, at the end of the day, Bill, about a month ago, looking at the Brewers and where they stood, I felt pretty confident that they can still get this done and win the division. Fast forward a month later, I just don't know if the Brewers can sustain and tread water while all these guys are out and hurt, and hopefully the Yelich back issue is not a long-term issue. Hopefully he's back on Friday against Texas. But I feel like today I am less confident that the Brewers can win the division just because of all these injuries, and you don't have another trade deadline to go to. There's a lot of things that are stacked against the Brewers right now, and it's harder for me to sit here and say that they can still get this done. They right now they're still in the thick of things. They're only three games back at the Cubs. They're right there in the wild card race, but I don't know, man. This is going to be really tough for the crew.
No doubt, because I think it's going to be a race of arms to the very end. As much as I want to say the offense, and I believe the offense can carry it, but it's going to be a race of arms all the way down to the end. We're going to start taking your thoughts, your emails, tweets, all that kind of good stuff coming up. You want to get a hold of us, 855-830-8648. Also, hit me up on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. You can find us there as well. We are broadcasting live at the Goose Island Ale House out here at the Wisconsin State Fair. Does the sweep of the Pirates mean that you're back on the bandwagon, or where you're never off of it? You still believe this team can win the division, or more so get into the postseason? We'll take your phone calls, emails, and tweets next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
There's not going to be quit. There's not going to be feeling sorry for ourselves. And no matter what happened after Chicago, we're still right in the middle of this thing and right in the thick of it. They know it. It doesn't feel like that when you lose three in a row, but you look at the standings and it tells you you're right in it. And we're square in the middle of this thing.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show, broadcasting live out here at the Wisconsin State Fair. We are glad you are taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out with us, as always, and taking a listen and enjoying the program and participating in the program and having an opinion, maybe screaming at your radio every now and then. That's what it's all about, and we can't do this without you. Got Kyle listening to us, and our buddy in Final Lax says, "Hey, Bill and Joe, sweep is awesome. The Brewers getting hot at the right time. Hopefully it continues. That's Go Brewer." That's our buddy Kyle from Final Lock. This is from Brian. Brian writes, "Hey, guys, want to let you know that yesterday's sweep doesn't mean a whole lot. What it does mean to me is that this team has the offense if they can all consistently hit. They haven't been able to do that all season long. Tomorrow they'll come out and they'll only lay an egg by only scoring one or two runs for the entire series, and they'll depress us all over again. Until this team can win back-to-back series consistently, they're never going to win the division." This is from Kim, who says, "Brewers fan, blue and true. I hope they can continue to hit the ball. Isn't Keston Hira fun to watch?" Without getting too far off the beaten path, yes. Two bombs yesterday, and to watch him also yank that double down the line was impressive. So to watch Keston Hira continue to rake, continue to make adjustments, you know what was the other guy that I thought was really on the ball yesterday, and he did take one off the fence, was Ryan Braun. And Ryan Braun, when he's hitting and he's smacking the ball the opposite direction the way he is, and being able to get the bat of the head of the barrel on the ball, that's when Ryan Braun is starting to lock in. So if he starts to hit, and obviously Yelich is going to hit, but then you had Lorenzo Cain come up with a big pinch hit yesterday. You start to get that mix working, and then throw into the mix a guy like Moustakas, who just continues to be consistent, Grandal, who continues to be somewhat consistent, better offensively. You got yourself a legitimate shot. You really do. Eric Thames got into the mix a little bit yesterday. Now, once, you get a game that you score eight runs, I mean, that team put up, 21, 22 runs in three games. They're not going to score eight, nine runs a game, okay? But if they can stay consistently over four or five throughout this stretch, they're going to win a lot of ball games. But again, that's a really, really big if, because that's a monumental ask of any team, to be honest with you. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. I got one here from Chris. Chris writes in the Wendy's email inbox, "Fresh, never frozen, by the way." And he says, "Craig Counsell pushed a lot of right buttons yesterday. I was impressed with the pitching staff. What do you think of Pomerantz going back to being a starter?" Look, Pomerantz can do either or. He pitched well. And, the biggest thing about Pomerantz yesterday was that breaking stuff he had that was just falling off the table looked wicked. But he wasn't lighting it up at 96, 97. But what he was doing with his off-speed stuff and the way he was setting it up, I thought was impressive. And yesterday, this is where I paid attention yesterday. I was watching that game. Did you watch Yasmani Grandal, the way he worked the plate? See, when we talk about framing pitches, and it's easy, it's cliche to say, it's easy to like, hey, boy, he's really good catcher because of this. If you watch the way he went down with his arm, he would leave his elbow up and the glove down to make it look as if the ball was being caught higher up in the strike zone than it was. There was a couple of times Pomerantz was the benefactor of a couple of call strikes that really weren't. And if you were watching the Fox tracks, they were a good, if you're up close and personal, they were a good couple of inches, 2-3 inches, maybe too low. and he was holding that elbow up, and they were calling them strikes. It's just the way he holds the mitt that allows sometimes the ball to appear to be in the strike zone, even though it may not be, because you got to figure if his elbow's up and the arm itself is down, okay? So if you're kind of sticking your elbow out right straight in front of you right now and your arm is, you know, if you got your right arm out and your arm is bent to the left and your elbow is up about shoulder high and then you drop your hand down. So then take a mitt and put your mitt on that, and then the mitt is about 5 to 6 inches lower than that. Look at the difference. You've got about a foot and a half to 2 foot difference from where it appears to be to where it actually is. He was framing pitches like that yesterday. And every now and then I'd go, there's no way you can call that a strike. And nobody balked. But that's because he made Pomerantz just a little bit better. I thought it was really impressive yesterday going back and watching that game. 855-830-8648. Jacob writes in the Wendy's email inbox, fresh, never frozen. He says, still not a big-time believer. I think this Brewers team has been too inconsistent. I want to see Craig Counsell do better down the stretch managing the bullpen. We've talked about this before, and I understand when the right button isn't pushed, you want to go, see, he doesn't know how to manage a bullpen. Don't you feel, though, for the field, just take that game as a microcosm yesterday. Don't you feel that the feel of the game Craig Counsell had a terrific handle on, the way he manipulated the pitching staff to get the most out of them for each and every inning? Don't you feel that was a really good outing yesterday? I don't know how you could look at that and go, Craig's not a good manager. He was on it yesterday. The series has been good. And now you're asking him, oh, by the way, hey, Craig, go win a bunch of games using five guys. You know what I mean? How can you do that? Go win that game using five pitchers. You don't even have a starter. Just go win the game. It's not easy to do. And, oh by the way, go win the game. Give Lorenzo Cain a day off. Give Christian Yelich a day off. Those guys, they need some rest. They need to, you know, kind of heal up. Come on. You know what I mean? So that's why I look at when you say, Counsell doesn't know how to manage. He's going to push so many buttons that eventually at some point he's going to push the wrong button, or he's going to push a button in which he believes is going to be effective, and it just isn't. You know, the other day when we were talking about Josh Hader 3 days in a row, I understand the low pitch count, but it's the warm-ups, it's loosening that shoulder, it's stretching it out all over again, not having him available for that first game in Chicago, not that it really mattered. But you know what I mean? That I can argue with. But just the overall use of the pen and the way he manages the pen, I think you're asking him to do a lot. And for those of you who want him to be perfect, I think you're asking far more out of him than probably any other manager in baseball. Or at least any of the – I think Craig Counsell, when it comes to making moves, probably makes more moves than 27, 28 other managers in baseball. Just by because of the way they use their bullpen. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Chime in. Brian just tweets us simply false hope. False hope, not a believer at all. Steve tweets us at @Bill_Michael says the season is not over. There's still time for the Brewers to climb back into this playoff race. They're in the playoff race. They never fell out of the playoff race. You know, four games back, okay, you maybe had a little bit, you know, the light may start to dim, but they never fell out of the playoff race. They're in the playoff race. I mean, for gosh sakes, they're only a game back in the wild card standings. They're in the playoff race. Peter writes in the Wendy's email inbox, fresh, never frozen. He says, not a big fan of the way they're using their bullpen right now. Do you think they're going to burn it out before the season ends? Using guys like this, they're not going to get enough starting pitching back by September to save the arms of the guys out there in the pen. Glad they got the depth, but I think it's too little, too late. We'll wait and see. I'm not declaring. Look, after last year, now, and I've said this time and again, after last year, there's that magic, that belief, that something that doesn't seem to be there. I completely agree with you, understandably. But after last year, and specifically watching this team do what was improbable, and that is come back, climb back into it, mathematically climb back into it, win 10 in a row, watch the Cubs lose, watch the Cardinals lose. I am not going to sit here today and say that this team is dead in the water by any stretch of the imagination, and that being four games back the other day basically was the lead balloon that should drag them to the bottom of the depth. Right now, you're ahead of the Cardinals. The Cardinals lost again. The Cardinals, after putting together that amazing run where they won 11 out of 13, have now lost five straight, and they've gone from leading the division to now 3.5 games back. They're a half game behind the Brewers. The Brewers now have one team, I should say, ahead of them. That's the Chicago Cubs. That's who they have to catch. One team ahead of them. That's not bad. I'll take that every damn day of the week. I'll take that every day of the week. Hey, this portion of the program brought to you by our good friends over there at Cousin Subs. At Cousin Subs, they believe in better. For 45 years, they've been grilling it up, doing it right, whether it's the Philly, whether it's the Mushroom Swiss, the Bacons, whether it's the Pepperoni Melt, which is the Bill Michaels, extra mayo, extra cheese. Oh, my goodness, on an Italian bread, it's oh so good. They've been doing it for 45 years. And now, not only do they have the website you can order from, which is CousinSubs.com, but at select locations, they now deliver. That's right, they now deliver. Maybe they can bring that great stuff straight to you. All you got to do is go to CousinSubs.com or just stop in. Make sure you tell them we sent you. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. That is our friends at Cousin Subs. When we come back, we're going to talk some Houston Texans football. Matt Thomas of Sports Talk 790 down in Houston. If you want to get him up on Twitter, at SportsMT, at SportsMT, you can find him there. But we're going to talk about the value and the love for J.J. Watt down in that Houston area. We're also going to talk about Bill O'Brien. Is this the year that Houston gets off the schneid? We'll talk about that coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad you're hanging out with us. We certainly appreciate it. The Goose Island Ale House next to the Budweiser Pavilion today here at the Wisconsin State Fair across from the Cream Puff Pavilion. By the way, speaking of the Cream Puffs, today is the Celebrity Cream Puff Eating Contest. And our own Baby Taos, Bill Schmid, he just stopped by. He just walked over and said, I'm on my way to crush this. So we shall see. Now, I know there's been a couple of celebrities in this area that have done that and have just bellied up to the cream puff, so to speak. And I don't know what the technique is to it. I couldn't honestly tell you. But there is the big cream puff eating contest coming up today here in about 20 minutes. So we'll let you know here before the day ends how our buddy Baby Taos did. And I would assume, knowing Baby Taos, that he just destroys this thing. And if he's not number one, he'll be number two for sure. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Also, Budweiser, the official beer sponsor of the Milwaukee Rally, which is coming up at the end of the month for all the motorcycles coming to town and the celebration of everything Harley. Go to MilwaukeeRally.com and also look for the Budweiser sponsorship at all your local dealerships. All right, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline, Matt Thomas from Sports Talk 790 down in Houston. Matt, how you doing today?
You know, you're talking about state fairs. It reminds me of my 3 years of Minneapolis St. Paul doing my shows in the Minnesota State Fair. So thank you for bringing up some great memories.
It is it's always great. This is kind of a double-edged sword. One, I love doing it because we have so much fun out here. But the second thing is it also starts to indicate football's here and the end of summer is starting to kind of creep in on us, and that kind of sucks. So it's a bittersweet thing here. Hey, let me ask you. We'll start with J.J. Watt. Now, we know he's not going to be playing in this ball game, but we saw the reception he got here in Green Bay, and he got to live out a childhood dream. And obviously, he grew up maybe 2 miles from me. But what is it like for the fandemonium of J.J. Watt down in Houston?
Well, everything you think it is times 10. Not only is he, excellent football player and had a really good rebound season, but you got to remember, Bill, when we had Hurricane Harvey a couple of years ago, J.J. was kind of the de facto face of Houston and getting, millions and millions of dollars donated to the Southeast Texas area to help people with homes and, all sorts of things and infrastructure and getting people back on their feet. So not only is he a great football player, but, if for me, and there have been times that J.J., frankly, has been a little hokey, but I said the moment that he stopped and what he did in his life and focused on Hurricane Harvey, that anybody that took any shots of who he is off the field gets a major downgrade in my book. So for the heroism that he got so many famous people around this world of ours to help, and all the people in Southeast Texas. Add on top of the fact he's a great football player and the fact that he's never been in trouble, you know, he is everything as advertised what you guys see up in Wisconsin.
So this year, this team, is this the put up or shut up year for the Houston Texans and Bill O'Brien?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is a team that's won AFC South title after AFC South title, but continues to look horrific in the playoffs. Whimpered out last year with the loss of the Colts. You know, you start to worry about at this point, is this organization wasting the best years of a J.J. Watt entering his ninth year? DeAndre Hopkins, who continues to be one of the premier receivers. Third season for Deshaun Watson. So there are still plenty of really good players. But unfortunately, it feels like, in talking about this team, Bill, that, you know, for the most part, you're on a hamster wheel and it just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning and it doesn't go anywhere. Last year's team won the AFC South, got off to a terrible start and finished with a big, long winning streak. It was amazing. And then just looked absolutely awful against the Colts. And a lot of it was because, frankly, you played Miami, you played Cleveland, you played a third or fourth place schedule. Tennessee was not very good. Jacksonville was a major disappointment. So they got fat and happy, Bill, off of all these games that we were just not against good teams and very, very poor quarterbacks. I'll throw Buffalo mix as well. This year is a lot different. It's a first place schedule. The quarterbacks are 500 times better this year than they were last year. So I wouldn't say put up or shut up because I don't think that's how the Texans go in their modus operandi in terms of making rash decisions. Clearly, with Brian Gain, the general manager, out now, this is Bill O'Brien's team. Kyle McNair is taking over for his father who passed away. I don't see any swift movement. The only way I could really see any sort of massive overhaul is that this team goes, say, 3-13 or 4-12.
So, look, I'm kind of going through the roster today. Go through the draft. Is Titus Howard, is he going to start, or is he just a depth guy? Because when I start looking at this roster, a lot like the Packers, right. They drafted a lot of guys, but are these guys that are going to crack the starting lineup right away?
My guess is the future left tackle of the Houston Texans will be Titus Howard, but it won't be in 2019. My guess, and this is just a pure hunch guess on my part, they'll open up the year starting at left guard. During mini camps and OTAs and a little bit of training camp, he's been moving around. You know, Bill's moving around all those offensive linemen because, Bill, they're just not very good. They've been awful the last couple of years. Deshaun Watson, I don't know how he stayed upright for 16 games because he got hit so many times. In fact, he got beat up so bad in one game. He had a punctured lung and rib, and he had to bust to Jacksonville because going in the air would have hurt his midsection and his body. So I'll give him 1,000 points of toughness for that. I'm glad they addressed the offensive line with two picks in the first three or four rounds, but it's still very much a work in progress, and that's what I think is going to be the number one thing that holds them back. They've not been able to go after really good offensive linemen in free agency. They've gone after cast-offs and guys looking for second-hand chance opportunities like a Sean Terrell Henderson. But, yeah, that's going to hold the team back more than anything else is that, you know, Titus just can't be ready enough to be ready to go and play a full 16 games at the most important position on the offensive line.
Talking with Matt Thomas of Sports Talk 790 down in Houston, I also wanted to ask you about DeAndre Hopkins. When you look at the wide receiving corps that are out there, we get caught up into a guy like Devontae Adams, and Aaron Rodgers feels he's one of the top three guys out there. And it's really tough. It's very much conjecture to rank them. But is DeAndre Hopkins considered, in your mind, top three?
Absolutely. Here's the thing about him, and obviously you won't see it tomorrow. But if you watch a Texans regular season game, if Deshaun Watson has time to throw the football and he throws it anywhere on the radar of DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to catch it. He's got fantastic hands. He makes adjustments. He's the best I've seen in a very long time, Bill, winning the 50-50 ball. And so if you've got that going for you, you're going to be really elite. He also gets called for a lot of offensive pass interferences, but frankly, he doesn't get a lot of them called. You know, there should be more. So he's able to just get enough separation at the very last second against anybody that's defending him that probably irks opposing teams. But he's so athletic. He's so freakish. Extension length, great hands, great after the catch. All I have is tremendous respect for him. And to tell you the truth, Bill, this receiving core the Texans have is really, really good. They just can't stay healthy. Kiki Kuti, it was a middle-round pick last year out of Texas Tech. Ridiculously high speed and good hands. Hamstring issues all season long. Will Fuller, the former Notre Dame product, amazing. Got his hands finally better to what they were in his days in college. Really looked like he was turning the corner, and yet got hurt again for the third time in as many seasons. So this team will only go as far offensively with how long Deshaun has to throw the football and how many receivers he can go to, which I'll be very curious to see if the latter two guys I just mentioned can play a full 16, because DeAndre's been able to do it. The other two guys have not been able to.
Talk about the secondary of this team, because as much as we can talk about J.J. Watt and company up front and Angelo Blackson and D.J. Reader and everything, talk about what the secondary is going to bring to the table this year as far as being able to shut down a guy like Andrew Luck and company, obviously, in that division, and to be able to really kind of fortify the offensive side of the football.
Well, they've never been able to do it against the Colts. T.Y. Hilton is going to, if he goes to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, should have highlights of only him against the Texans, because twice a year he burns them for about 150 yards. Still, I would say it was the second biggest concern behind the offensive line, especially, Bill, when Tyrann Mathieu went to Kansas City, and you've got other members of the secondary moving on to Denver, and it's been really tough. And they've just, Jonathan Joseph remains a steady go-to guy despite being in his mid-30s, but he's also a little bit of nicked up here and there. I'll really be really curious to see what Tayshaun Gibson brings to the table as well. But honestly, Kareem Jackson, when I wore in Bronco gear, probably hurts. He was a really good safety. Had to get moved to corner because a former first-round pick in Kevin Johnson was concussed himself out of a Texans uniform. So it's still very much a work in progress. And I think, again, they addressed it this year in the draft. They'll have to probably do it again. The one guy that you'll need to watch if he plays tonight or during the course of the year is Justin Reed, who was as a third-round pick, was spectacular last year, and I think could very easily, in just his second year, be the best player in the Texans secondary by far. Played that way certainly in the back half of his rookie year.
Last year they get 11 wins. They win the division. Where do they stand this year, in your opinion?
I think the Colts are the team to win in the pick in the division. I think Jacksonville will be obviously a lot better with the quarterback change. Tennessee remains that year-in, year-out wild card, sort of like the Lions, I think, are in the NFC North, how they play up and down. I think 8 wins. I think the schedule is going to be a bear. I think the offensive line continues to be a huge concern. And, now they've got some extra running back help. They picked up Duke Johnson today via trade from the Cleveland Browns. So that'll help out a little bit, but their running back is a little bit underwhelming. I think this is a tougher schedule, with still two big concerns of last year rearing its ugly head in 2019. And I'm scared to death that Deshaun is going to not be able to avoid injury if, again, that offensive line fails to protect him like it did last year. So I envision about 8-8 this year in a much more competitive AFC South.
Well, I know there's a lot of Texans fans in the area that look over the fence for J.J. Watt to perform down there. So hopefully he stays healthy all season long. And who knows, maybe before long and hopefully before his career ends, you see a Green Bay, J.J. Watt, Houston Texans Super Bowl matchup. That would be fantastic. Matt, we'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it, man, okay?
Call anytime.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Sports Talk 790 in Houston. Matt Thomas joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. Are you watching Hard Knocks? It was the biggest opener for Hard Knocks in a long, long, long time, because I think everybody's watching over the fence to see that train wreck of a franchise, that being the Oakland Raiders or the wherever Raiders at this point. We'll talk about that when we come back. Also, we'll give you a Mike Clemens update, and Mike Clemens right after the top of the hour, our Green and Gold insider from NFL Sirius Radio. Mike is going to join us as well live from Green Bay. I'll be sitting next to him today. This evening, I should say, for that game coming up between the Texans and the Packers. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show broadcasting live out here at the Goose Island Ale House in the Budweiser Pavilion right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Mike Clemens, always great. We're going to hear from him after the top of the hour, so stay tuned for that. Broadcasting out here at the Wisconsin State Fair, the Goose Island Ale House, that's where you can track us down. The cream puff eating contest out in the main mall there. That's going to get underway here in just a little bit. Our own Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, going to be involved in that. We'll probably hear from Billy coming up later on. I'm sure he's going to come over here with cream puffs, cream all over him, just all juiced up. We'll chat with him in a little bit. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at Quick Trip with top-tier alternative fuels, no-fee ATMs. They got a lot going on over there. Great places. I've talked about time and again. And our friends over at Quick Trip, they just couldn't be better to us. They were here, as a matter of fact, on Tuesday. It was Quick Trip Day out here at the Wisconsin State Fair. So if you're going to stop anywhere, make sure you stop into our friends at Quick Trip. See them now at Quick Trip. Kitchen Cravings 5-ounce sirloin steaks, perfect for the grill. If you've never had some of their meats and cheeses and stuff, try it. I'm not kidding. People say, wow, I'm not going to a gas station. Well, it really is good. The Quickery white bread, which is what we get, and the reason Sherry buys it is because it lasts forever. For whatever reason, that bread's just better than a lot of other bread out there. The specialty bread is 99 cents. The Quickery white bread is 49 cents for a full loaf. So stop in the Quick Trip today because they got so much going on. Oh, by the way, you can also get the Ultimate Tailgate Sweepstakes. Right now, one lucky fan is going to drive away with a brand-new Chevy Silverado at the August 29th Packers preseason game. So check into that. Good stuff from our friends over at Quick Trip. Now, if you haven't been paying attention to it, Hard Knocks is underway. So John Gruden says he wants nightmares.
Everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? All right, everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. Are you guys clear about this NFL now?
He's a nut. Here's John Gruden's opening fiery camp speech.
We've worked our ass off to bring this group together, to turn this franchise around and create an identity and create a culture that can carry us on into the future. The owner, Mark Davis, has a lot of pride, man, in the history of this organization. And there's a saying around here, once a Raider, always a Raider. We are going to be physical. Most importantly, we're going to be smart and we're going to be relentless. You can lead the league in effort because it takes no talent. It's just a decision that you make. We have a chance to be one hell of a big story this year, man, if we put our heart and soul into this football team. We want to win and we want to win now. Knock on wood if you're with me, okay?
There you go. Knock on wood if you're with me. And then he says... oh, by the way, Antonio Brown's son still thinks he plays for the Steelers, just so you know. Here you go.
Daddy, why am I on the black team, Daddy?
I am on the black team. Daddy just got to wait to practice. You ready to see me work or what?
Why am I running today?
Daddy's still, feet still sore. Come on.
Where's Rutherford?
Huh?
Where's Rutherford?
He played with the Steelers. I quarterback Derek now. You won't play with Rutherford no more. The Raiders.
Daddy,
you play with
Daddy,
Derek Carr. What's my quarterback? You got his name? What's his name?
Derek Carter?
Derek Carr.
Now where's him, Daddy?
He's over there, number four.
Where?
He out there practicing.
There you go. So he believes, his son believes he still plays for the Steelers. He has to explain it to his son. In addition to that, why aren't you on the field, Daddy? And he says, because Daddy's feet are sore. I don't know if you happen to have been following the story. Antonio Brown went to a cryogenics, like a cryotherapy chamber or one of those deprivation chambers or whatever the hell it is. But anyway, the bottom line is it got so cold it gave his feet frostbite. And his feet blistered, the bottoms, the toes, I mean everything. It's pretty bad. I don't know if you've seen it on any of the pictures. Joe, have you seen the pictures of that?
No, I have not.
Oh my God! Just Google Antonio Brown's feet, and he can't hardly walk because he burned his feet so bad. He deprived him. I don't know what that does. I don't know if it pumps more oxygen in or deprives you of oxygen, but whatever he did, he burned his feet, and it was basically like holding your feet to a flame and watching the skin begin to bubble and peel off your feet, and that's what he did. Trying to get his body ready for camp, and he hasn't been able to practice because he burned his feet so bad. So anyway. That's a little bit of Gruden and Hard Knocks. I'm into giving nightmares.
That's okay, I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that?
Mike Clemens from up in Green Bay next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.